Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I got to tell you, that Newell can sure pick the days to take off. Yesterday and today, arguably some of the best days so far this year, weather-wise. Maybe he's consulting with WWL Chief Meteorologist Chris Franklin before he picks those days. Anyway, Newell is off. I hope he's enjoying something outdoors like fishing, maybe. But I'm Don Dubuque, filling in for Newell. Y'all know me as the Saturday morning outdoors guy, host of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, and we'll be on again tomorrow on Saturdays from 5 to 7 a.m. But today, we got several items of really a lot of interest to talk about. We're going to start off talking about deep fakes. And no, that's not a football term. Deep fakes is artificial image or videos that is generated by a special kind of machine that a machine learning called deep learning. And what deep learning is, it's similar to any kind of machine learning where an algorithm is fed examples and it learns to produce output that resembles the examples it learned from. Humans learn in this fashion. Deepfakes have garnered widespread attention for their potential use in creating child sexual abuse material, celebrity pornographic videos, revenge porn, fake news, hoaxes, bullying, and financial fraud. Simplest term I can describe it in is what we used to call, and I still think it's around, is lip syncing, where sometimes the music artist will actually be moving their mouth, but the actual audio is coming from an audio player. And what this is doing, it's matching audio to the video, the movements of the mouth, but it's much more than that. And here to help explain it to us and talk more in depth about it is a professor of public policy at Duke University, Phil Napoli. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
If you would, I tried to give as best a description I could, and it's a little bit technical and complicated, but tell us your description of what a deep fake is.
Well, I actually like yours a lot, and I think I'm going to use it from now on. But but essentially, yeah, what we're talking about are false images generated that look incredibly realistic. And so, as you pointed out, they take some underlying original sort of, you know, baseline images, baseline audio, and can extrapolate that to create images and audio that never happened, that did not exist. So you can, you know, it's getting to the point where it's incredibly realistic looking. Old versions of deep fakes, it would sort of look like a head pasted onto somebody else's body, or as you're pointing out, you know, the voice and the way the lips were moving wouldn't quite sync up right. Well, it's getting much more sophisticated and much more accurate, and importantly, getting into the hands of just your average person. It doesn't require a lot of skill or money to produce this.
I'm sure you're familiar with some of the polls that are coming out and really detailing, you know, how many people can't, number one, recognize it. And, you know, if they shown both of them, I think it was a third, well, only about a third of the people were able to correctly spot an AI-generated image. And the rest of the people are just completely fooled by it. And, of course, the impacts of this are unimaginable. I mean, the things that can happen in terms of, you know, fake news that has people form their opinions based on some of these things they see, which are totally misinformation. Where do you see this thing going as far as recognizing and helping people to spot what's fake and what's not? And it's very difficult in some of these cases. I think probably the most glaring example I've witnessed is this one of Kerry Lake, where they made a fake news image of her talking, and it looked awfully real to me. And unless you're looking for it and you know things that tip you off, you can't tell information, which is accurate, from misinformation. What are some of the ways that people can kind of decipher and determine what is fake and what's real?
Yeah, that is a very tough question. And it's important to even emphasize that even the AI systems that are being developed, the software packages that are being developed to detect deep fakes, are not all that great at doing it. So if the AI can't detect the AI at work, we have a real problem on our hands. So it's, minute details at this point that someone might have to be, well-trained to look for, whether there are, variations, inconsistencies in the background, or, do the fingers look quite right? They could be, very small details in how the artificial intelligence is rendering the image that somebody, might be able to seize on and identify. But the average news consumer, if we're talking about an example, where it's being used quite a bit at this point is in, is in the political realm, is not likely to be able to see what's happened.
Who exactly can we identify who is creating these? Is it just the average geek sitting there in his basement with his computer that has learned to create these things? Or is it as technical as political operatives for one particular party that's putting out information? Because I see people on social media that see fake stuff and they just take it and run with it and send it to all of their friends and put it all over the place that it's gospel.
Yeah, no, the answer is at this point is all of the above. We have seen, we have seen political campaign consultants use it, as in the case with the robocalls that were replicating President Biden's voice. It was someone who, an opposing candidate for the Democratic nomination. His consulting firm did that. We're seeing high school students do it, maliciously towards their classmates. So, yeah, it's, it runs the gamut. Foreign governments, absolutely. Can't forget them. This is a valuable tool in their arsenal now.
Well, where this is going to appear in most cases is going to be on social media. And, of course, I'm not putting it past some of the major networks could be fooled and take some of the stuff and run with it or actually air it. But I think social media is where 99% of this is going to show up. Do you think that the social media is going to be responsible enough to spot these, define them, and then warn people about them? Or do they consider them an asset, that this is going to even increase our hits and our viewers and subscribers even more?
Excuse me. That's a great question. And, we do obviously have a track record to look back on when we think about social media. If we think about how well social media platforms did in terms of policing just, text-based disinformation and hate speech and things of that sort, there was a brief time where they were investing quite a bit of resources in that, and then they have stopped or scaled back dramatically. I think the short answer is no, we can't expect social media platforms to voluntarily be as effective as we would like them to be in policing this. But, it gets right to the question. As you pointed out, social media is the primary distribution system for this kind of material, and it really is the primary way somebody is going to most likely encounter it.
Well, that confirms that it's safer to get your information, your news, from what we consider reliable sources on
Absolutely.
Traditional television rather than social media. Professor, you're in the education business there at Duke. What do you think? Is there any ongoing classes or curriculum for, I would say, going all the way back to elementary school to alert students and the young people about the dangers of this and that it is going on? Or if not, maybe we should institute that.
That's a great question. And this has been a big, push in the education space, as you point out, going all the way to elementary school. And, you know, it has different names: media literacy, digital literacy, information literacy. We've seen a number of states actually adopt legislation directed at, incorporating digital literacy education into the school systems. And this is exactly one of the subject areas that needs to be part of that: how to detect deep fakes. What are the tools out there? Who to rely on? What source? Again, this is not, we hate to throw the onus of this all completely on the end user, that it's your job to become literate and sufficiently skeptical and sufficiently skilled to be able to detect all of the, all of the disinformation and all the forms that it can take that you're going to encounter. But that's part of it. It's definitely part of it. And it needs to be young people. It needs to be the elderly as well. Or, we unfortunately see that that older folks tend to be very, very susceptible to this. So we need education programs from cradle to grave, so to speak.
Wow. We're talking with Professor Phil Napoli of the Duke University's Department of Public Policy. We're going to take a break here, Phil. When we come back, I want to talk about what you think about, I hate to even say it, government's role in overseeing how we can detect and prevent misinformation from being spread through deep fakes, and also maybe some other ways that you can suggest that people avoid being duped by what is out there in an enormous amount these days. We'll be right back. You're listening to WWL 870 AM. I'm Don Dubuque, filling in for Newell Norman on the Newell Norman Show on a beautiful Gulf Coast morning right here on the Big 870.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we do invite you to communicate with us. Use that talk and text line. That's our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. We've been talking with Professor Phil Napoli of the Duke University about what is a term called deep fakes. And deep fakes are some misinformation. They're putting audio to video and images and creating what is very, very realistic looking. And actually, it's misinformation for some very nefarious needs, such as revenge porn and pornographic videos involving celebrities, bullying students, financial fraud issues, and also political ads and political announcements are being faked to throw a monkey wrench into voters' decisions. Phil, I got a couple of interesting texts in. One says Milli Vanilli had their Grammys taken away in 1998 for lip sync. And yet a lot of well-known music artists are using auto-tunes or lip-sync on their music in concerts. Customers shouldn't pay for fake music, especially since concerts that are way too expensive. Well, that's a little bit of a a variation of what we're talking about. But this one says a deepfake. So it's possible that my picture of Governor Jeff Landry sharing a blunt with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart isn't real. So there's an egregious case. When you see something like that, yeah, that's fake. But there are some that are so realistic that it fools the public, and some of the polling shows that now. And as far as some ways that people can avoid being duped, what do you think, Phil, would be the government's role in this? Should they get involved? I mean, that's brings up visions of this ministry of misinformation or disinformation, whatever you want to call it, where government is the one that oversees what's fake, deep fakes, and what's real. And I don't know if we want to go there.
Yeah, that is a tricky question. We really need to avoid the government playing the role in determining what is and what is not fake. We'd like that to be handled elsewhere. But we have to also remember there's a variety of other roles the government could play in this. If you think about where some kind of regulation could be targeted, obviously, what we're important to know, we're already seeing in many states the criminalization of the possession or the creation of sexually explicit deep fakes. So that's targeted at the user of the technology. We're seeing in some states requirements that political campaigns disclose the use of AI in the creation of political materials. So there, it's just a disclosure type of regulation, which is also a form of speech, but it's not the government dictating what is and what is not true. So that's another possibility. The Biden administration issued an executive order wanting to require, some kind of digital watermarking in AI generated content. Again, another type of disclosure. So these are some of the directions it's starting to take. But we haven't seen it surprises me is we never see the regulation actually directed at the creators of the technology. What if we were to have a piece of legislation that says, AI tools, any ability to create sexually explicit deepfakes should be disabled? I would bet that that's within the capabilities of the technology creators themselves. They would argue, as we saw, social media platforms argue in the past, oh, we could never police this. It's too complicated. Well, it's too hard. I bet there are ways in which, the technology itself that's brought to market could maybe be regulated so that some of its functionalities are limited. Again, that's a very different model than we typically have in this country, where we don't want to do anything to discourage innovation, and then the innovations come out, and we all scramble to try to counteract the harmful ways in which the technology is being used.
Yeah, well, that was a very profound statement you made when you said you didn't think AI could actually detect things that are AI generated. If AI can't do it, what could? I guess for now, until something else is developed, it does fall upon the responsibility of the end user to just be on the alert and use their best senses to detect what they think is fake and what's not. And I don't know what else to tell people to warn them, on things that show up that really they have to take action on or would like to act upon, but afraid to because they don't know what's real and what's not. And also is going to affect the real information getting out there because people are going to be so suspect that it's fake and it's a deep fake that they're not going to believe what's actually true.
Right. Well, we have a phrase that it's called the liar's dividend. And that's the concern that if somebody is doing something inappropriate, let's say, and is caught on film doing it, they can say, oh, that's a deep fake. So it provides a whole new type of cover for all kinds of behaviors.
Well, thanks for taking the time away to talk to us about this subject. I'm sure it's going to be talked about a lot more, and I'm sure your students really enjoy your class. I wish I could sit in on it sometimes, Professor. We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
All righty. When we come back after this, we're going to talk to State Representative Neil Reiser. Guess what he's proposing? HB 844. Do away with Louisiana state income tax. What are the chances? We'll talk to him about it coming up next right here on the Newell Norman Show on the Big 870 WWL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Well, it's legislative season here in Louisiana, and there are bills of all types going through, and there's one that I spotted was very interesting, House Bill 844, which would call for the elimination of state personal income tax beginning January 1 of 2026. Its author, Representative Neil Reiser, joins. And Neil, it's been a while since we've talked. Good to have you back on with us.
It has been. It's good to hear your voice, and thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, I saw your bill and found it quite interesting, but I got to tell you, my initial reaction was Custer had better odds than this bill of passing. Tell us how, why, and when it could happen.
You know, I'm a history buff. I appreciated that. I think if it's going to happen, we're probably the best chance. You know, the Secretary of Revenue, Nelson, he had the same legislation before, and Governor Landry has in the past spoken in favor of it. So the premise behind it and where we're at, I've heard and we hear in the state of Louisiana all the time about Texas and Florida, about how they're doing so well, and they are doing great. Texas has the largest growth population. Right behind them is Florida, and neither one of them have the personal income tax. And why? We have about, and then the main question will be, and everybody asks, and it'll be presented before Ways and Means, is that, you know, how are we going to pay for it? And that is because it's about $4.5 billion of revenue that's paid in every year. My method right now, the way I do it, proposing to pay for it, we have roughly $9 billion in rebates and credits. Rebates are, you know, you write a check, you get a straight back credit, it's credited towards your income. But that is, we've received in the general fund, received those monies, and we do not take it. We don't spend it on higher ed. We don't spend it on health care. We give those monies out in rebates and credits. So if we take that money from there and get that $4.5 billion, then we'll be able to eliminate the personal income tax.
Well, Neil, certainly the questions everyone asking is how can we replenish that money and that $9 billion? Now, is those various tax credits and rebates, is that annual reoccurring funding, or is this something that's going to come out of the Bobby Jindal playbook of using one-time sources for recurring expenses?
I was here during that time with the general. No, this will be permanent. And those rebates and credits, that's not in the general fund now. We're not eligible to spend that because the money comes in. Just imagine it's your personal checking account and you've got a draft on your account. Well, it comes in. That money goes out to pay those rebates and credits. You know, it's deducted. So the budget we have to spend every year, the monies we're looking at, and per se our checking account, does not include that in there. So those monies are gone. So of those people listening, how many out there, citizens, how many of you receive a rebate or a credit out of the $9 billion? I would probably roughly say that anybody that's listening, maybe nobody. So I say it's time that a lot of these rebates and credits, you know, we've reviewed them in my time, even when I was sharing revenue, three different times we've reviewed them, and they're hard to get rid of. So we've done a 25% back about, well, in John Bell's first term, we did a 25% reduction on all rebates and credits. That's about to expire next year. And I hadn't heard anybody complain about getting a 25% reduction. Nothing. So there's 25% over right there. So roughly another 25%, and we'll be able to pay it and eliminate.
What is that $9 billion in credits and rebates funding now that it won't be funding if it's used to replace the personal income tax?
It's not funding anything. That's good. So thank you for answering that. It's not funding anything that's state-owned. So that would be, let's use, for example, maybe some of it, and it's been the debate be whether it's good. Well, I'm saying everybody takes an equal cut across, like the movie tax credit. That's $180 million. That's probably the best known. Mm-hmm. And that's been a point of contention. Oil and gas might have one where they get a rebate or get something for an initiative for, you know, drilling, refining, or whatever it might be.
Got it.
So they're incentives. So they're passed when they're initially passed, and some of them are good. Something that's been like the 1930s. It'd be like, well, let's here's another one that we've had before. Mm-hmm. Would be okay. Let's pay for half of solar installation to incentivize solar. Well, you know, at one time we were paying up 50% of that, but that turned into a very costly program and got rid of it. So when you give an individual their money back inside a local economy, it's been shown that that dollar normally has a multiplier of seven times. So it's spent seven times within that economy. I think you'll see a greater economic impact and growth by letting the people spend the money rather than giving a corporate rebate credit or rebate to someone that has a corporate office in Houston, Texas. It's not even here.
Well, I can't argue with anything you're saying. We're going to take a break here, Neil. When we come back, I want you to tell us what it's going to take to get this going, where it stands now, and how it could possibly become law and when it would take effect. We're talking with Representative Neil Reiser about his House Bill 844 that would eliminate state tax. If you got a comment or question, use our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line 504-260-1870. We're back right after this on the Big 870 WWL. And if you just tuned in, Newell has the day off. I'm Don Dubuque filling in for him. We're talking with State Representative Neil Reiser about his bill, House Bill 844, which would eliminate the personal state income tax, a none-too-easy proposition. And, Neil, before we get into where the bill sits and what it's going to take to get approved, I got some comments in from some of the listeners. One of them says that removing this tax will do nothing to help the citizens because they're already talking about other tax breaks. They can stop to recover that money somewhere else. It's just moving money around to try and look good. What is your response to that?
I'm in complete disagreement. There's a tax rate depending on your income bracket. The highest being 4.25%. That's not negotiable. You owe it if you're not at poverty level. So you'll be receiving that money that comes straight. You won't owe any income tax, zero. So you won't have that. So we're redistributing. How to go back to your question, you said earlier, how to pay for it, is that I'm not asking where I've seen it fail before in the past, is where you try to pick winners and losers. I used the movie tax credit a while ago because a lot of people are familiar with that, the $180 million. I'm not asking to eliminate one. So what I'm asking everybody to do is like we did previously when we had a deficit and needed the money, we ask everybody, and that's going to expire in 25, what I'm about to speak of, we ask everybody to take a 25% a cut on the rebates and credits. And nobody's complained about that. So I'm asking if we're at 30% to do the math to get to do away with it or 40, wherever it might be, I'm asking everybody that receives one to take the same cut. I'm not proposing right now. Now the body decides they want to pick one particular winner or loser. You know, I'm open to whatever. But I'm asking for everybody to take the same percentage cut to give the money back to us.
Would this affect the state sales tax?
Most marina. Say again?
Would this affect the state sales tax?
No. It's a complete and separate instrument. This would, this money, the 4% you have, you retain the 4%. If you chose not to spend it, it would not be subject to a sales tax. But that's where the 7x multiplier I spoke about earlier. Mm-hmm. So now you're taking that money, the extra disposable income you did not have because it was paid out personally in a tax. Now you've got that extra money that, that you go buy whatever you want to with. Go
you know,
buy
Neil,
TV,
a lot of
go
times,
buy whatever it might be.
I look around to see what the other guy is doing, and if it's working for him, maybe it'll work for mm-hmm. me. What other states have eliminated or never had state sales income tax?
Well, I know right now you've had the ones that don't have it currently, Alaska doesn't. On Alaska's income tax, the way that derived was they had a lot of oil and gas, and they actually gave checks back because they had so much going on. Now, that's kind of – but they still don't have one. Florida doesn't have a personal income tax. Nevada, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. Those are the ones that currently do not levy a personal income tax.
And I guess there's not much clamoring by the people to institute one either. Nobody's looking to add a sales tax expense.
You talking about in Louisiana?
I'm talking about in those states that don't have a sales tax.
Evidently, it's
working for them.
No. This is personal income tax. You spoke of sales tax.
No, I meant income tax. Yeah, I meant income tax.
Yeah, no. These states here, I mean, that's probably the – if you talk to everybody on the street and the legislation out in the last few years is to eliminate the personal income tax, mm-hmm. I think. And you've seen a lot of people – there were a lot of individuals, a lot of candidates that campaigned on this last election cycle on eliminating the personal income tax. So we've got a lot of members that, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they vote because they campaigned on it.
I got a call in from, I guess this is the Lafayette area, wants to know that are you worried that your plan to kill the income tax and corporate tax rebates will drive businesses away from the state and create a fiscal crisis for the state?
No, and I'll go back with that. I want you to know that is a very good question because, you know, I'm on the Senate, I did chair revenue, which is that committee, but once again, I will reference back that beginning of Ebers' administration and that first fiscal session, we did a 25% across-the-board reduction. And I have not heard of any, I hadn't had any company or anybody complain about that reduction. I mean, I hadn't heard anything. Mm-hmm. I thought there'd be a lot of it, but nothing. See, we'll be eligible to get that back next year in 25. So that's the reason I put it in 26. You know, so we'll have enough time to do it and to figure out how to do it.
I've got a few people, too, that are saying that some of those states you mentioned, although they don't have state tax, they have a higher property tax.
Correct.
Would we have to raise the property tax to compensate for some of the loss from the state, or do you think your figures that you're looking at with those rebates reduce would cover it?
No, so we'll use us against Texas on that. Texas and their school districts have a higher property tax because the state does not. We pay it out. Like the MFP, which is roughly about $9,500 per student. So we're paying that out of our state general fund. Texas does not pay that out of their state general fund. They pay that out of their local tax districts. So like their home taxes, the ad valorem taxes, and that's the reason that's so high. So that would not have – this would truly be revenue neutral. It's not increasing, decreasing anything. It's just the distribution of who receives the money that's going to rebates and credits, it would then go to the individual taxpayer.
Yeah.
It would not touch anything other than that. It's just how that money is distributed.
Well, Neil, where does it sit right now, House Bill 844? Has it been referred to the committee yet?
It's been referred to Ways and Means. Right now I have asking for a physical note on it and exactly what percent we're to do, and then it'll go to committee. Hopefully not this next week, but probably the next week.
And then from there, if it goes to the House?
If it's successful, if it's voted favorable, correct, then it'll go to the House floor for full debate. And if it's successful there, then it repeats the process again. It goes to the Senate. It'll be referred to Revenue and Fiscal Affairs. The bill will be heard then, and then to the Senate floor, passes there, then to the governor's desk for signature.
Have you polled,
that far.
have you polled your constituent, not your constituents, but your fellow legislators, and do you think that you possibly could get the votes to pass this?
Well, I'll say this. I hadn't talked to anybody that feels like they can vote against it, whether they're for it or against it, either one.
Mm-hmm.
Because, every one of your constituents, you know, it's going to be a hard vote to vote against.
Yeah, because they're going to be looking and hoping and suggesting that they do that.
It's you.
Yeah, right. Where do you expect any opposition to come from? Would it be some of the lobbyists from some of those corporations that have headquarters out of state, maybe, that you were talking about?
It would be those that are receiving a rebate and credit now. And so the way that I've seen it personally fail before, and I'll go back again, is picking individual winners and losers, where you're going after one group and say you're going for me. So let's look at me being from North Louisiana. It would be oil and gas, because we got a lot of oil and gas, and a lot of our people, probably half my male population, works in the oil field, offshore or somewhere on the globe. And then we have agriculture. So I'm not, you know, when it comes to me, I'm not for eliminating either one of those, because those are my people. So I'm asking everybody across the state, I'll say it again, that to be fair about it, we're not eliminating any one individual. We're asking everybody to take, and I'll be asking everybody to take the same percentage cut, so it's equal straight across. Everybody takes the same hit.
Well, this is just Don Dubuque suggesting this, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I think what might be an addition to help get this bill passed would be if there could be some kind of a presentation in the reduction of some frivolous expenses. And we all know that there's a lot of waste and abuse in state government. If we could come up with some examples of eliminating some of those things and a need for the amount of state tax, well, then I think that would make the bill even stronger.
Well, you're speaking to the author, and I'm 100% agreement with you. So that would be, if we can find those and go through there, well, that's a larger percent we could allow those that currently have it. They wouldn't have so much of a, you know, if it's 30% or 40%, what it might be, we could offset a little bit with that. And that is still a matter of not increasing or decreasing on anyone. It's just a matter of being more efficient and effective running a form of government. Doing away, and we have a lot of wasteful stuff that goes on.
All right. And again, someone, reaffirming what you said about not affecting the property taxes, it says the state of Louisiana does not assess property taxes. That's assessed by the local governments, and it have no impact on property tax collection by the locals, only the state income tax. This one says it's a good idea. We should be thinking about it. So there's some support for it, certainly.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if John Q. Citizen likes the idea of this, and I bet you a lot of the people I associate with would love it, what should they do? What action should they do as a citizen to try to help get this passed? Who should they contact first?
They should contact their legislator. At this moment, they need to contact their House member, because this is originating the House. So the priority one would be to contact their House member, encourage them to vote for it, because it's got to come out of the House to get to the Senate.
You know, Neil, we hear a lot about contact your legislator, let them know how you feel about it. Tell me, as a legislator from your side, how do you react when you get, and how do you get them? Is it phone calls? Is it emails? Is it old handwritten letters? How do people contact you, and how seriously do you take that?
I'll tell you the most ineffective way. So let's say it's a group that they call out and say, hey, you need to contact your legislator, and they send a form letter out for you to email me. Mm-hmm. Well, at that point in time, what I do is I count how many I've got. And to me, that's one email, because you hadn't personalized it. The most effective way to me is a handwritten letter. That gets my attention the most, a handwritten letter.
And what about getting
a phone call? You know, I mean, in my district, I think most House members know a large majority of their population, their voters personally. So, a phone call is very effective. That or a handwritten letter is one. That's the most effective for me personally.
What about communication from people outside of your district?
Just send me. If it's outside, if you're for this or against it, just send me a personalized email. You know, not a not a form letter one. I mean, that's to me, that's the third most effective.
Mm-hmm. Well, any final thoughts on doing this? You sound like you got a good workable plan to me. I got quite a few people said that's a bad idea, but they're not giving me any good arguments why it is.
Yeah, well, it's hard to argue against because it's fair.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's fair across the board. It's fair to everyone. So let's do this, not as this, you know, if we get the bill scheduled, I don't mind coming back. I would love to come back on the show to do it before I take it to committee or we get it out and tell everybody where we're at step by step and what is being, you know, my proposal. That's the reason we've got all the different views. If it will probably be, if successful, it will probably be some hybrid like you spoke of, you know, coming wasteful stuff. And I mean, it'll be a variation, but I don't want to go to committee without a way to actually pay for it. So my proposal now is a way to pay for it. I'm not saying it's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Just as some of the people have said, as long as it's not just revenue neutral, it's not raising or, you know, any other way on anybody.
Exactly. Well, listen, thanks for taking the time to explain it, and hopefully we can get you back on here, and hopefully the clock doesn't run out on this as it does on so many bills where they just don't have the time to take them up or for whatever reason they get delayed either unintentionally or intentionally. But good luck on it, and thank you for coming on to explain it. And if people want to find out more about it, they can check out our legislative website and just look up House Bill 844, and there'll be more details. Thanks again, Neil. Appreciate it. Always great talking with you, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
All righty. That's Representative Neil Rise. All right. Coming back after the top of the hour news, we're going to talk a little LSU baseball. Boy, started off great, then not so good, but boy, some real bright lights last night. We'll talk to Hunt Palmer and Jeff Palermo about LSU. What's it going to take to turn it around and get things rolling as predicted preseason? Back with that after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.